Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, June 28th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Silicon Valley has long had a tolerance toward drug use, but in recent years, routine drug use has moved from an after-hours activity into corporate culture. Some tech executives and employees have been taking psychedelics and other similar substances as gateways to business breakthroughs. On today's show, we'll be joined by our reporter, Catherine Binley, who's been looking into the growing drug culture across Silicon Valley. But first, some headlines. Electric truck startup Lordstown Motors has filed for bankruptcy. The filing came after talks with the company's investment partner, Foxconn Technology, fell through. Lordstown Motors says it's filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and is searching for a buyer. At the same time, Lordstown is suing Foxconn over claims of fraud and breach of contract, saying the Taiwan-based contract manufacturer went back on a deal to acquire $170 million of Lordstown shares and effectively destroyed the business. Foxconn said it had been in constructive negotiations with Lordstown, but that the EV startup made false comments and malicious attacks, and it was reluctant to carry out their investment agreements. The Supreme Court issued a decision Tuesday that'll make it more difficult to prosecute online stalking. The case had to do with a Colorado man who sent a barrage of unsolicited Facebook messages to a singer-songwriter he became obsessed with. In its decision, the court clarified the line between protected free speech and unlawful threats and threw out the cyber-stalking conviction. The ruling clarifies the mental state that a defendant must have to be convicted. The court said prosecutors must prove that the defendant acted at least recklessly. The case was sent back to a lower court in Colorado, where prosecutors could decide to retry the man accused of cyberstalking, but would face a higher burden of proof because of Tuesday's decision. Robinhood is laying off about 7% of its full-time employees, or about 150 people. That's according to an internal company message. This is the online brokerage's third round of layoffs in just over a year as the company adjusts to a slowdown in customer trading activity. Affected roles include customer experience and platform shared services, customer trust and safety and productivity. And finally, your car's dashboard is at the center of a $1.5 trillion battle between automakers and tech giants. Car makers have been struggling to make money on electric vehicles due to the high cost of batteries, so they're looking to boost profits through digital revenue from subscription services like navigation and even heated seats. Yep, you heard that right. A subscription for heated seats. But automakers are competing with tech giants who've been working on car dashboards for years. That's according to our video correspondent, George Downs.
Apple's CarPlay and Google's Android Auto are everywhere. The problem that automakers have is that software takes up a lot of the dashboard, and these tech companies are reaching deeper under the hood of the car and integrating with more of the physical features of the car. So not only do you have tech companies taking over the real estate that an automaker might use to sell upgrades, but you also have tech companies integrating with some of the features that automakers may wish to monetize.
General Motors predicts that by 2030, it'll be making between $20 and $25 billion from subscription services. And business consulting company Accenture says that digital services will make up 40% of global automotive revenue by 2040. Okay, coming up, microdosing LSD, ketamine, and psychedelic party invitations. We'll talk about the rise of drug use in the tech world after the break.
Mazars is an independent audit, tax, and advisory firm with local roots and international scale. We help businesses move confidently to the right future. When you're ready for what's next, move forward with Mazars. Learn more at mazars.us/forward.
Elon Musk takes ketamine. Google co-founder Sergey Brin occasionally enjoys magic mushrooms. Executives at venture capital firm Founders Fund, which has invested in SpaceX and Facebook, have thrown parties that include psychedelics. Silicon Valley has long had a tolerance toward drug use. But while in the past, routine drug use was squarely an after-hours activity, these days it's become embedded in corporate culture. WSJ reporter Catherine Bindley has been speaking with folks about growing drug use across Silicon Valley, and she's with me now. Katie, I want to start with, what made you pursue this story?
Psychedelics have been used among the tech industry for a while now, but what we've been seeing more recently is really a mainstreaming of it. Instead of people being more hush about it, people are being very vocal about it in some ways. And we've got examples of executive coaches who are working with teams on navigating psychedelic use, and founders just being more public about it and what they perceive as its benefits when it comes to business breakthroughs or making them think more creatively. And there's been a huge uptick in interest. There's one guy we talked to in the story who just said, even in recent months, like the number of people who've come to him for advice about microdosing has gone up pretty dramatically. And this organization, MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, they host this big conference in Denver, and 6 years ago, they had 3,000 attendees, and this conference was held last week, and they had 12,000 people there. It is certainly tech and beyond at this point.
Can you give us some examples of the people you spoke to and what they said about their drug use? What were their experiences like?
Yeah, people who use psychedelics, they can use them for a range of reasons. In some cases, it might be to help with depression or with anxiety. In other cases, like for example, when people are going on an ayahuasca retreat, there might be a desire to work through some trauma that they've had. In other cases, you have people who are using this to get an edge in business. So I spoke with a founder who just talked about, for him, he's not using it for anxiety or for depression. He's using LSD in this case, and he's microdosing it because he thinks that it helps him think more creatively. He thinks it increases his focus. And he talked about the high expectations in the tech industry of venture capitalists and investors. And his take was that this can lead to founders basically seeking out some kind of edge, and that he feels psychedelics can give you an edge. And when it comes to the sort of the pressure and the expectations of investors, he said they don't want a normal person or a normal company. They want something extraordinary. You're not born extraordinary. So that kind of helps explain the mindset of some of the people who are experimenting with these drugs.
Is there something specific about this particular moment that is fueling the increase in drug activity?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of different reasons. I mean, you had Michael Pollan's best-selling book in 2018 that was subsequently turned into a Netflix series in the summer of 2022. I think that caught a lot of people's attention. And then there's also just this enormous body of research and various studies going on into the ways in which psychedelics could potentially help people, and a ton of money going into the psychedelic industry as well.
Has this become just accepted as part of doing business?
You know, it really depends. We've talked to coaches who are helping different teams within companies navigate drug use. So in some situations, yes, it is accepted. In other cases, definitely not. I spoke with a CEO who said that he had done LSD once in 2019. And 2 years later, he was terminated. The company at the time had sent an email to staff effectively saying that he had violated company policy. It really does depend, I think. One of the founders I spoke with who does LSD made the point that he's not just like walking around the office talking about this drug use openly, but if someone were to ask him about it, he is honest, you know, about his use.
All right. That was our reporter, Katie Bindley. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.